The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed out about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land towards which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord. I speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, that's a story that we've been hearing since Sunday school, the story of Jesus feeding the multitudes with a few loaves and some fish. What's the first thing that we modern, sophisticated, grown-up people notice when Jesus feeds the multitudes? I think what we notice first, what stands out most for us, is that it's supernatural and mysterious and hard or perhaps even impossible to explain. We notice what I sometimes call the woo-woo factor. There's a lot of woo-woo going on here. And that really impresses us because we're so used to explaining everything. From the motions of the planets up in the heavens to the insides of our own bodies, there always seems to be some guy in a white lab coat who'll come along and tell us what's really going on. We like that. It doesn't happen here. We notice the woo-woo first. And that's okay, but I think we need to think more deeply than that, or we're never going to completely understand what's happening with this miracle or any miracle. Make no mistake, there's some woo-woo happening here. There's some things that are hard or impossible to explain. That's just not the main thing. It's not the most important thing. not for the people around Jesus, not for Jesus himself. We've got to dig deeper into this. The people around Jesus, they didn't care that there wasn't a nice scientific explanation for what was happening around them, as Jesus fed them. They didn't have nice scientific explanations for anything. The whole world was pretty mysterious, from the growing of crops to aging and dying. For them, what all this showed was that Jesus was a man of power. Wonderful and unexpected things happened when he was around. Authoritative teaching, healing, feeding lots of people. And it was good to be around Jesus to get in on some of that power, to reap some of the benefits. That's what the people around Jesus noticed first. And Jesus got a little bit frustrated with all this. Later in the Gospel of John, he chastises the people, saying that they're just following him around because of the bread. You know how he always tells people not to talk about the miracles? Don't tell anybody, he says, especially in the Gospel of Mark. And he does that because he doesn't want to be known as just another wonder worker, just another faith healer making the rounds. Every village had one of those. Every village had an old woman who could cure your warts, or the man who said he could find just the right place for you to dig your well. There are people with power all around. Jesus knew that if people got all caught up in the wonders, that's all they saw, they'd never really understand him. To really understand him, Jesus knew, you had to walk with him. You had to walk with him every day. You had to sit down with him in the homes of outcasts and sinners. You had to listen to him teaching hard things like loving your enemies. You had to walk with him before he understood him. Probably had to walk with him all the way to the cross and beyond. Then you'd start to understand what all these deeds of power were really about. So, if it's not just all about the woo-woo, and it's not just about the power, what is it about? What is Jesus trying to get through to us by doing these things? What does he want us to see? Well, we can get at that by remembering that Jesus insists the things he does are not just wonders and not just displays of power. He calls them signs. And signs are important because they point beyond themselves. They point to something bigger and more important. When Jesus does these things, he wants us to see signs of God's kingdom, the thin edge of God's kingdom squeezing its way into our broken and mixed up world. These are little examples, little portraits of what the kingdom is going to be like. A foretaste, a teaser, a trailer for the main feature, an invitation to all those people to gather around Jesus and really live in the kingdom for just a few moments, to see what it's like. The deeds of power are meant to show us something beyond themselves, to show us that in God's kingdom, everything that diminishes human life, all that demeans us and devalues us and destroys us, all the sin and sickness and disobedience and loneliness and rejection and fear, all of that is touched and healed. All that isolates us from God and from each other is cleansed away. We're restored to who we're truly meant to be in God's original creation. We're brought back to a loving and trusting relationship with our Creator. Each one of those signs invites people into that reality just for a few minutes. Each one of those signs points to that coming reality. This sign of feeding, I think this sign of feeding Jesus gives us to help us see past our fear. See past our fear of scarcity. That feeling inside of us that there might not be enough for everybody. This morning before I got here to church, I had to break up a fight between two of my dogs who were fighting over a bowl of food. Plenty of dog food. They don't need to tear into each other. There's lots to go around. But sometimes we get little voices like that speaking to us in the less good parts of our hearts. That little voice that tells us that maybe life is a competitive zero-sum game. And then in order to get enough from me and mine, I'll probably have to take away from you and yours. This feeding is a sign that that's not really the way it is. That's not God's intention for us. And when God's kingdom comes and when God's will is done, that's not the way it is. This sign is meant to help us see that when God reigns, there's enough with leftovers. So it's not about the woo-woo. It's about signs of the kingdom. And when we start to see that, we can start noticing signs of the kingdom all around us, everywhere, especially in our worship. Think of passing the peace. Passing the peace is not a foretaste of the coffee hour. It's a glimpse into the reign of God. What are the differences that there might be between us? The things that might divide us out there disappear. And we can wish one another God's peace. It's a kingdom moment, a kingdom sign. Think of the Eucharist. Think of communion when we break a little bit of bread and pour out a little bit of wine, and we share it. It doesn't seem like enough, but when we come to the altar together, we hold out our hands, we receive together nothing less than the presence of God, and every one of us gets everything we need, and no one gets less, and no one gets more. That's a kingdom moment. That's a sign. That's a glimpse into kingdom reality. Those kingdom moments are important for us because they can change every other moment in our whole lives. Jesus does some powerful and amazing things this morning, but we dig deeper into them. We remember it's not the woo-woo that counts. It's the kingdom that counts. In Jesus' name, amen.